Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Here in North Point in 2022, we have said that this is our year to advance. This is our year to advance. And that word advance, it means to move forward in a purposeful way. To move forward on purpose and with purpose. It means to make progress. And what we've been saying is that we're not just advancing into something or advancing into nothing. We are going to advance into abundance. We're going to advance into the overflowing fullness that God has for each and every one of us. We are going to advance into the life that Jesus said was possible. And today, if you're thinking, what life is that? It's the life that Jesus mentions in John chapter 10, verse 10. When he says this, he says, I have come so that they, everybody say, I am they. All right, so he's talking about you. I have come, Jesus says, I have come that so they may have life. I want them to have it in the fullest possible way. Now remember that word that Jesus used for life in the Greek is zoe, and it means life in every area of life. Jesus did not come just so your spirit could be reborn. He came also so that your mind could be renewed. He came so that emotionally you could be whole. He came so that relationships would be abundant and overflow. This is why Jesus came. He came to give you life in every area of your life. And that word zoe doesn't just mean present, it also means future. So the life that Jesus came, he came to give you that life now, but not just now, he came to give you that life moving forward as well. And this is what Paul says about that life that is possible. Paul was an apostle, which means that he was a leader in the early church. And he writes a letter to the church at Ephesus. And in Ephesians chapter 3, this is what the apostle Paul writes. He says, and may you know his love, speaking of God's love, even though it can't be completely known. So what Paul is saying here is that, listen, I want you to know it, even though you're not going to be able to know it fully. Why? Because our mind is finite and God's love is infinite. And there's no way for us to fully grasp his love. But Paul says, but you can know it. And that's what I'm praying for you. That's what I desire for you, that you would know his love. Because he follows it up with this. Then you will be filled with everything God has for you. Meaning that everything he has for you comes from his love for you. Everything that God has for you comes from his love for you. Meaning that you will not be able to advance into what God has for you if you don't know how he feels about you. Okay, so he says, listen, everything God has for you is going to come from how he feels about you. And if you don't know how he feels about you, you're not going to be able to move into everything that he has for you. So you have to know today that you are loved. You have to know today that you are adored. You have to know today that you are a son and you are a daughter. You have to know today that his love is unconditional and that his love isn't dependent upon yesterday's performance or last year's performance. The love that God has for you is an unconditional, infinite, overwhelming love. That's how God feels about you. And Paul says, I want you to know how he feels about you so that you can move into everything that he has for you. And then he tells you what it looks like, what he has for you, and that's in verse 20. And it says, God is able to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. So he says, I want you to know how he feels about you so you can move into what he has for you. And what he has for you is better than anything you could ever think or imagine. What God has for you is better than anything you could dream up. That's the God that we serve. And this is what he says. And he does everything by his power that is working in us. Come on, if you believe God's power works, say yes. Yes. Come on, God's power works. But just because God's power works does not mean that his power is working in us. Just because his power works does not mean it is not guaranteed that his power is working in us. You see, we have to allow God's power to access our patterns. We have to allow God's power to access our patterns. Everyone in this room, you have patterns in your life. You have patterns of thinking. You have patterns of talking. You have patterns of behaving. You have patterns of responding. You have patterns of reacting. You have patterns. And those patterns come from a lot of different places. Those patterns could come from the home that you were born into. Those patterns could come from the neighborhood that you were raised in. Those patterns could come from influential people that you've had in your life. But there are patterns. Everyone in this room, we all have patterns, and they make up who we are. But here's what I can tell you. If we are going to move into everything that God has for us, we are going to have to allow his power to access our patterns. Now, I say this a lot, but we are not changed by what we have access to. We are only changed by what we allow to access us. Listen, we have more access than ever before in the history of the world. You have access to all types of information out there on the internet. You have more access than ever. But listen, we are not changed because we have access to something. We are only changed when we give access to something. We have to allow it to access us. And here's how we know that this is true. That we're not just changed just because we believe, or we're not just changed because we pray a prayer. We're not just changed, but because we've all had this experience. We all know people who have been in church for decades, heard thousands of sermons, can quote hundreds of verses, but they're still mean, they're still bitter, they're still unforgiving, they're still fearful, they're still anxious, and they're still ungrateful. And it would cause us to go, how is that possible? How is it possible to be around this, to be in this, to know these things, and yet still, because you can be surrounded by something, but it still not be in you, right? You can be around his power. And listen, what happens is whenever you get around his power, it makes you feel better, but only when you're found in his power will it actually make you better. So what happens is that people keep coming to church and they keep listening to worship music and they keep reading their Bible. Why? Because it does make them feel a little better. They get a little hit of something. They get a little encouragement. They get a little hit out of it, and it makes them feel better. And they keep on coming back to get their next hit so they can feel a little better. However, that doesn't change you. The only thing that changes you is when you give access to his power and you let him get on the inside of you and have his way. So this abundant life, this life that Paul says is more than we could ever ask or imagine, this life flows from our willingness to let his power work in us. It flows from our willingness to let his power work in us. And then there's something that comes up, right? Because we're like, okay, so God's going to come in and God's going to work, but we get, all of a sudden, what happens is we get like, but man, I got some real issues. Like, I got some real struggles. Like, I got some real problems. Like, man, don't I need to like get some things fixed and like cleaned up a little bit and put together? I mean, before I'm going to invite God in, like, I mean, shouldn't I get some things that was like polished some? I mean, shouldn't I like do some work to like, I mean, make this presentable? I mean, like Philip, I've got some real weaknesses on the inside of me. Can I tell you, God's not intimidated by your weaknesses. God is not discouraged by your struggle. And if God is not intimidated or discouraged, then why are you intimidated or discouraged? If God's not intimidated, we should invite him in. Because here's what we could even say today, is that God doesn't just work in our weakness. Maybe even God works best in our weakness. Because that's what Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthian church in chapter 12, verse 9. He's talking about, man, I'm dealing with this struggle, this thorn in my flesh. I've prayed to God, but this is God's response to him as he's writing to the church. He says, my grace is enough for you. When you are weak, my power is made perfect in you. In your weakness, you find the perfection of God's power in your life. So Paul takes it another step, and he says, so I am very happy to brag about my weaknesses. I'll be bold about my weaknesses. I will confess and admit my weaknesses, because then Christ's power can live in me. So Paul found this secret to say, wow, whenever I know that there is a weakness, that's when Christ comes to be my strength. So I will boast in my weakness. I will proclaim my weakness, because every time I admit that there is a weakness, Christ comes and he fills me up. So maybe we could even say today that our willingness is more significant than our weakness. That our willingness is more significant than our weakness. Here's what we worry about. We worry about our weaknesses, right? We think about the weakness that we have, but we're not pondering the willingness that we have. And so what we have to understand is the thing that's more important and more significant than the excuses of our weaknesses, it's actually our willingness to say, God, I need you now. God, I am weak and I am struggling, and God, I need you to come and fill me up. And because of this reality, we're going to spend the next few weeks in a series entitled 413. 413, and we're going to be talking about four truths that are found in Hebrews 13, but we're going to be looking at it through the lens of Philippians 4:13. So the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church at Philippi, and we're going to read it through this context. We're going to get to the four truths in Hebrews 13, but we're going to read it through the lens, or through the perspective, or the context of what Paul says in Philippians 4:13. And this is what Paul says. He says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." For I can do. Come on, say, I can do.
I can do.
For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Now, you might have heard this verse before. Or, I mean, this verse gets like painted on the weight room wall of all Christian schools. You know, this verse is found on T-shirts, and this verse is found in people's social media profiles, right? And so many times when people use this verse, this is what they are really speaking to. What they are saying is this: God can help me do what I want to do for me. Philippians 4:13. God can help me do what I want to do for me. But that's not the context of the verse. When you give it any study at all, you realize this ain't about you getting what you want. What this Bible is actually speaking to is that God can help me do what he wants to do through me. It's not about what I want to do for me. It's about what he wants to do through me in the earth. But now, the great news of this is that you can do everything that God has called you to. That's what Paul's speaking to. You can do everything in God's will and purpose for you. You can do everything through his strength. You can do everything that you need to do, because the power of God is operating on the inside of you. And this is why we have to look at Philippians 4:13 first, because we got to see the can-do attitude in Philippians 4:13 before we get to the must-do actions in Hebrews 13. Because if you don't look at it through that lens, and all we get to, and we start talking about these four must-dos in Hebrews 13, I mean, by the end of this series, I mean, you'll just be like, I don't know if I can live this Christian. Like, oh, God, like, I don't know if I can make it. Because these must-dos are so challenging and so difficult and take so much out of you. If you don't put the context of Philippians 4:13 and look through the lens and say, no, wait a minute, I can do all of these things because this is the will of God for every believer. This is the thing that's going to carry me into the abundant life. So I'm going to put the lens in the perspective, and I'm going to see everything in Hebrews 13 through the lens of Philippians 4:13, which lets me know I can do everything in that because he's going to give me strength to carry it out in my life. All right, so let's look. Let's look at what is the first must do, okay? What is the first must do in Hebrews 13? It's found in the first four verses. Hebrews 13, starting in verse 1. The writer of Hebrews writes and he says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. The very first must do that we read in Hebrews 13 is that we must do persistence. We must do persistence. In all four verses, he says something like this, keep on. Keep on loving. He says, don't forget. He says, keep on remembering. He says, always remain faithful. This is what he is challenging us to. Why is he challenging us to this? Because we cannot advance into abundance without persistence. So he's letting us know, if you want everything God has for you, there's only one way you're going to get there, and that is through persistence. Now, everybody in this room has lived long enough to know that it's easier to make a commitment than it is to keep a commitment. Now, I gave you a perfect opportunity to say amen right there, because everybody knows it's way easier on the front end, like it sounded like a good idea, and you're like, oh yeah, I'll do that. And then on the back end, you're thinking, what was I thinking? It's way easier to make a commitment than it is to keep a commitment. And what happens is that we can be passionate about something in the beginning, but if we're not persistent in the middle, we never arrive at the best end. We get passionate about a new opportunity. We get passionate about our spouse and our marriage. We get passionate about the new job. We get passionate about things in the beginning, but it's not your passion in the beginning that determines your destination in the end. It's the persistence in the middle that will determine if you get where God intended for you to go. So I love this quote from Darren Hardy. It says, commitment is doing the thing you said you were going to do long after the mood you set it in has left you. I'm gonna leave that one up there because somebody needs to take a picture of that and like read that every day this week, right? Commitment is doing the thing that you said you were going to do long after the mood you set it in has left. Commitment is doing what you said you were going to do when you don't feel like doing it anymore. Commitment is keeping the promises that you made when it gets hard, when it gets difficult, when it gets challenging. That's what commitment is. Commitment is doing what you said you were going to do after the mood has left. We all know what it is to stand in the service and say, God, I give you my life. I give you everything. God, you just have your way. Send me wherever you want to send me. God, I'll do whatever you want to do. And then Tuesday hits. We all know what it's like to say a commitment. But the thing that takes us into the abundant life is when we keep a commitment. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is urging, right? He's urging us in this to keep on loving, keep on serving, keep on remembering, keep on honoring. Don't stop when you get tired and don't stop when it gets inconvenient. He's saying there's only one way to get through all of that, and that is with persistence. Stay in the game and stay in the fight. And this is a perfect time for us to be talking about this as we move into the fourth quarter of 2022. Come on, have you know in this year of advance, you're not done advancing yet, because 2022 is not over, okay? You are not done making progress yet. There is still more progress to be made. Right now, we are in the fourth quarter. Now, whenever I think about the fourth quarter of a year, I only think about one thing, and that's the fourth quarter of football. I think about football. Two things are always happening in the fourth quarter. When you enter into the fourth quarter, two things are always happening on a football field, typically. Number one is this, is that winning teams fight to stay ahead, and losing teams fight to get ahead, right? That's why I say these things typically happen, because somebody out here is thinking, well, what if they're tied, Philip? There's no winner. Okay, I know, all right? I get it. I'm saying typically. Go with me. Winning teams are fighting to stay ahead, and losing teams are fighting to get ahead. Well, the same thing that's true in football is the same thing that's true in your life. As we move into this fourth quarter, if this has been the very best year of your life, if we looked at the scoreboard and you would say, I'm winning in my marriage, I'm winning in my finances, I'm winning in my business, I'm winning in all of these areas. Maybe this was the best year of your life in multiple areas of your life and you are winning. Well, guess what? Keep on winning. Keep on fighting for the more that God has for you in these last 3 months. Don't get to October and look over your shoulder and go, wow, I mean, look how good we did in the first three quarters, and then just coast into the rest of the year. No, there are more things that God has for you in this year. Don't stop. But guess what? If you're behind today, I mean, if you feel like you are losing, if you've missed your goals, man, if you're not anywhere where you wanted to be, if this was the worst year of your life and things happened to you that you wouldn't want to happen to anybody else, and you feel like I am behind today, guess what? Then you need to fight to get ahead. You need to fight to progress. You need to fight to move forward. You need to fight. You need to fight to build momentum. And even if you don't, listen, we all know, we love the comeback stories. It's the fourth quarter comebacks. It's when people are behind and look like they're down and they look like they're out. And all of a sudden they come from behind and they pull off and it's like, ah, you know, maybe that's going to be your life this year. The first three quarters have looked so bad, but God can do a miracle in your fourth quarter that'll take you places you never dreamed possible. And listen, even if that doesn't happen, guess what? You start building momentum for next year. So 2022 might not be what you wanted, but you start building momentum, and 2023 might be the best year of your life based off of how you fought in the fourth quarter. But you're not going to win without a fight. It doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're ahead or behind right now. You're not going to win without a fight. You stop fighting, and it doesn't matter how good the first three quarters have been, you'll get beat in the fourth quarter. You're not going to win without a fight. And look, this is a long fight. And if this is a long fight is going to require persistence. Let me give you a quick definition for the word persistence. Persistence is a firm continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Which is why it has to be firm. There is a firm continuance. Why? Because there is difficulty and there is opposition. And so you've got to have a firm continuance in a course of action if you are going to get where God is calling you to go. There is difficulty and opposition in all of our lives. And listen, if there's difficulty and opposition, then guess what? We all have an excuse available. Do you know why there's always an excuse available for you? It's because the enemy will make sure there's always an excuse available. The enemy will always make sure you have an excuse available why you can't move forward, why you can't forgive that person, why you can't move on, why you can't have the abundant life, why you're not going to get that breakthrough, why your life's not going to accelerate and elevate and go to the next level. There's always an excuse. We can always find an excuse. Why? Because the devil is always serving them up on a silver platter. It's always there. There's always a difficulty and an opposition. And out of the difficulty and opposition comes an excuse. And the only thing that an excuse does is it excuses you from the future God created you for. And so this is why we have to persist. This is why we have to do persistence. And Jesus actually talks to us a little bit about the power of persistence. And he tells a couple stories. And the first story that Jesus tells about the power of persistence is found in Luke chapter 11. But today we're going to look at another story that Jesus tells about persistence in Luke chapter 18. And the scripture says this. It says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and that they should never give up. Come on, tell your neighbor, never give up. Come on, tell your neighbor right now. Look at him, say, never give up, never give up. Come on, tell him. is what Jesus is telling the story. You should always pray, and you should also never give up. There was a certain judge in a city who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly." Well, let's look at this story. Let's think about the story for a minute. Let's think first about this, that the person who Jesus picks for the hero role in this story is a widow, which means we instantly know one thing. She has walked through pain and loss. Jesus doesn't have to tell you his story by the name that he identifies her. He says, "There was a widow." Instantly, we know that she has faced fear, she has faced devastation, she has walked through pain, and she has experienced loss in her life. The second thing that Jesus tells us is that the widow has an enemy. That the thing that she went through, like if that wasn't enough, now she has an enemy. And she's going to the judge to deal with the enemy, which lets us know that somebody has either done something to her or is trying to take something from her. Somebody's done something to her or is trying to take something from her. So this widow has an enemy. But this widow has a third problem. And the problem is this: she's being ignored by the person who was put in position to protect her. She isn't being seen. She isn't being heard. She's not being cared about. She's not being taken seriously. But yet through all of that, she keeps on believing. Through all of that, she keeps on trying. Through all of that, she keeps on persisting for justice. Through all the difficulty of her past and the opposition that is in her present, she has this firm continuance in a course of action, and she just keeps on coming back saying, "Judge, I need to talk to you one more time. Judge, I need you to hear me one more time." And the judge says, "Finally, listen, I don't fear God, I don't fear people, but she is about to drive me crazy." And if you study a little bit in the Greek, the word that Jesus used, it could actually mean he is afraid that she's going to give him a black eye. He said, "Man, this lady, she's coming with so much persistence and intensity, I'm afraid for my life. I'm going to give her what she wants." But she just kept on coming back, knocking on the door, demanding justice, knocking on the door, fighting for justice, knocking on the door, saying, "You have to hear me," knocking on the door, saying, "You will pay attention," knocking on the door, saying, "You will listen," knocking on the door, saying, "There is something that belongs to me, and I'm not getting it right now." And I just keep on showing up, and I'm knocking on the door. I mean, no, that's tiring. It's tiring to keep on doing what you know you have to do to get what God has called you to. That's tiring, man. You're going to do persistence every day? I mean, think about the disappointment and the pain that she's walked through. She has lost her husband. Now she's got an enemy who is either doing something to her or trying to take something from her. And now the place that she goes where she feels like, "Oh, finally I'm going to get justice because I get in front of the judge," and he doesn't even pay attention to her, doesn't even see her as a real person. And yet she keeps on showing up through the pain, through the difficulty, through the opposition, and she keeps on showing up. And that's what you have to do too if you're going to get what God has for you. But the only way that you get to do persistence, that first must do of Hebrews 13, is whenever you put Philippians 4:13 over the top of it and realize, I'm not knocking on that door every day in my strength. I'm not getting out of bed every day in my strength. I'm not showing up every day in my strength. No, it is the strength of Christ that is empowering me to do what I've got to do so I can get what God has for me. That's why you got to look through the lens of Philippians 4:13 before you get into the must-dos of Hebrews 13, because the must-dos will wear you out. You keep knocking, you keep knocking, you keep knocking. Nobody's listening. You'll say, I guess just the pain is too much for me. The enemy's not going to go away. Nothing's going to, this judge is never going to listen to me. I love this quote from Dennis Waitley. This is what it says. It says, he's a business coach, and he says this. He said, success is almost totally dependent upon drive and persistence. The extra, everybody say extra. Extra. The extra energy required to make another effort or to try another approach is the secret of winning. What if we took that out of the business world and we brought it into the kingdom, and we said this, that discipleship, which is our success in the kingdom, discipleship, becoming like Jesus, is totally dependent upon our devotion and our persistence. It comes upon your devotion. How much are you willing to sacrifice and give to God? How much are you willing to die to yourself? And how persistent are you to show up every day to make sure that that actually happens? That's what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. Devotion and persistence. Persistence to devotion. Making sure every single day that I don't stay here and say, God, I want you to do what I want for me. But every day I wake up and I say, God, I want you to do in me what you want to do through me in this earth. And he says this. He says that success, it's almost totally dependent upon drive and persistence. And he says, the extra energy required. The extra energy required. And I'm going to ask the keys to come on out, because we're going to wrap up right now. Here's what I want you to bring your attention to. Most people on the journey of life, they run out of extra. Most people along the journey, they just run out of extra. And listen, if you run out of extra, you're only left with ordinary. But whenever you keep your extra, then you have extraordinary. But what happens along the way of life is that we just run out of our extra. We run out of the extra energy, he says, to try one more time. The extra energy to do it a little different next time. We just run out of that extra energy. And when you run out of extra, what you are left with is ordinary. I love the quote that says, the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is always that little extra. And isn't it the truth? The difference between an ordinary marriage and extraordinary marriage is always the extra. Raising kids, it's just the extra. Creating a successful business and a great church, whatever it is, it's just always just the extra. Being and making the impact God has called you, it's just the extra. And whenever you do the extra, you move from ordinary to extraordinary. You move into what? You move into the life that Jesus promised you could have. But it's this: will you persist in the extra? Will you persist in the extra? Jesus tells the story. Listen, Jesus tells the story. And Jesus tells the story because the woman did the extra. And because the woman did the extra, what is it? It's an extraordinary story. This widow who has an enemy and a judge that's not listening keeps on fighting until she gets what she came for. That's an extraordinary story. She didn't quit. She didn't give up. She didn't make excuses. She didn't throw in the towel. She didn't just go home and say, well, I guess this is my lot in life and just go away. No. She kept on showing up. She kept on doing the extra, and it's an extraordinary story. I mean, the story would read a whole lot different if she said, and so she went to the judge, and the judge said no the first time, and she went home, and that's the end of the story. Jesus wouldn't tell that story. That's a bad story. Why? Because Jesus was telling his disciples, hey, I want you to hear the story because I want you to know that you should always pray and that you should never give up. Because if you give up, you're going to miss out on the extraordinary ending that happened in the story. And you see, the extra always comes down to me and you's choice. Will you do the extra? Will you do the extra? Not to rub salt in anybody's wound that's an LSU fan today by bringing up this name, but I saw something that Nick Saban said. And Nick Saban said, he tells his players, you basically have five choices in life. You can be bad. You can be average. You can be good. You can be excellent. Or you can be elite. And the choice is up to you. It's your choice. You choose if you want to be bad. You choose if you want to just be average, settle for the mundane. You choose if you want to stop it good. Well, I got a good life. I got a good family. I got a good marriage. I mean, it's good. Let me just remind you, Jesus didn't come for good. He said, I came that you would have abundance. That there would be an overflowing fullness in every area of your life. You could stop at good. You could even go to excellent. You could stop at excellence. Or Coach Saban says, or you can choose to go all the way to elite. And you know the thing that separates the elite from all the, it's just the extra. It's just the extra. Are you willing to do the extra to give you what God said you could have? And the beauty of God is he says, if you make that decision to do the extra, you're not going to be on your own. If you make the decision to live the extraordinary life that I created you to live, you're not on your own. Because I'm going to bring my extra into your life so that you can live a supernatural overflowing fullness so that you might live an extraordinary life on this earth. You see, God set it up where whenever you say, that's what I want, he comes to despite all of your weaknesses and your struggles and your past and your current temptations, he comes to fill you up. And that's why it depends on your willingness to allow his power to come. The abundant life, it doesn't happen because we make a commitment one day. It happens because we persist in a commitment every day. When we have that firm continuance in a course of action, there's difficulty, there's opposition, but I am going to persist. I am going to keep on loving. I'm going to keep on remembering. I'm never going to forget. I'm going to always honor. I'm going to keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. But I'm not going to do it in my own strength because I've got a promise from Almighty God that his strength would come and fill my life. Now listen, we don't want to just live extraordinary lives as individuals, but we want to leave an extraordinary legacy as a church. We don't want to just live extraordinary lives as individuals or families. We want to leave an extraordinary legacy here as a church. We want to do the extra for our community. You heard a little bit about it. We have 100 pair of pants and 100 jackets, 600 sweatshirts for Rush and Mill. That wraps up our back to school this year and all that we've done, over 3,500 uniforms that we have given away this year. The meal total, it's up in the tens of thousands now that we've given away. Listen, we want to do more yet next year than we've ever done. Why? Because we want our community to know, hey, we're willing to do the extra. We don't talk about it. We are about it. We do the extra so that you know you're loved, so that you know that you're seen, so you know that you're cared for. Because we don't want any students hungry in Bossier City. We don't want any students without a uniform in Bossier City. We want them to know, hey, we see you. We haven't forgotten you. We remember you. We see your pain. We see it. We know it's there. We see you. We acknowledge you. We're not dismissing you. But we're actually here for you because we decided we're going to be people that do the extra. We do the extra. This year, as we get to the end of the year on December 11th, I hope you're here that Sunday. I want you to put it in your calendar. It's going to be a special day because on December 11th, we're going to start looking into 2023. I'll be announcing the word for 2023, where we're going as a community. But listen, I told you, we're not done yet in this year because on December 11th, we are kicking off what we are calling our Advance the Dream offering. And this end of the year, from December 11th all the way through the end of the year, here's what we're doing. We're saying, God, what is the extra you want me to do to advance this dream in this city? So that kids can eat, so that kids can have uniforms. Well, God, what do you want me to do so that indigenous missionaries in remote parts of the world can be equipped to go and take the gospel message, the good news, into the most unreached areas in this world? Because that's what you do at Northpointe. You don't know that you do that. That's what you do. You sponsor indigenous missionaries to go and reach their own people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And we want to do more of that. We're not satisfied with where we are now because more people need to hear the gospel message. More people need the good news. That's what we are about. That's what we want to do. And so all of us collectively, we're saying, God, what do you want me to do extra? Thank you for your faithful giving. Thank you for those who tithe and give on a regular basis. Thank you. You make what we do possible. But what about the extra for the dream of 2023? How are we going to close this year of Advance and say, hey, we're not going to get to December 31st like, oh, Advance is over. No. We're going to hit the end of the year and we're going to advance the dream and we're going to facilitate the dream and we're going to launch into 2023 seeing the dream come to pass in Bossier City. What's the extra? What's the extra that you are going to do? What are you going to do? What's the extra? You say, man, I want, maybe it's $100, maybe it's $500, maybe it's $10,000. I don't know what it is for you, but there's an extra that God is calling you because we don't want to be ordinary. We don't want to open our doors on Sunday and have a cute little church and just sing some songs and wow, we feel really good and we go out and the city doesn't even know that we're here. Listen, we're feeding hungry kids because there's hungry kids. We're giving uniforms away because kids don't have uniforms. We're not making something up. We are meeting a need that is real and it's in our city. What are we going to do as a community? Because listen, I don't want to be ordinary. I didn't get into this to have an ordinary church. I didn't get into this for us to just have an ordinary experience. No, I got in this so that we can make an extraordinary difference in our city. And we've been giving those uniforms away for 10 years, and we've seen God as God continues to do more and more. We started giving away meals whenever COVID hit. We haven't stopped. We've accelerated. We're giving more than we've ever given. Every single year, this is what we're doing. What's the extra that you can add so that as a community, we can make an extraordinary difference? Because I believe that's what God's called us to. You know how powerful it is when we all bring our little extra? Whew, it's a big, extraordinary impact. When we all bring our extra, we create an extraordinary impact in the city. I want you to pray about it. I want you to be here. If at all possible, December 11th, I want you to be here. It's going to be an awesome day as we look into 2023 and as we finish this year strong with our Advance the Dream offering for the end of the year. Hey, I want you to stand with me today. I'm going to ask the media team if they'll put the acrostic up on the screen, our lead, because every week here, we know we want to lead ourselves well. You can put it all up there. I want you to have it. Some people like to take a picture of it every time. And if I don't do it, they yell at me. So I'm just doing it so that nobody yells at me today. Hey, but here's what we learned. We learned that the can-do attitude empowers the must-do actions. The can-do attitude empowers the must-do actions. Don't try to do everything on your own. Put it underneath the lens of the can-do spirit of Christ. The evaluation, am I overpowered by the must-do or empowered by the can-do? Are you overwhelmed by all the things you feel like you must do? If you are overwhelmed and overpowered by the things you must do, listen, then you're not living empowered by what God wants to do in you. So where are we at today? Stressed out, nervous, afraid? How am I going to do all these things? We're going to see it through the lens of Philippians 4:13. Declare Philippians 4:13 every day this week. Lean into the promise of his strength in you. Lean into that promise. Read every day. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Put it on a note card in your car. Every single day, I want you to declare that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I want you to declare that every single day this week. Because if we're going to get into these must-dos, we got to know that he can do. If we're going to get into those must-dos, we got to know that we can do through his strength and his power. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.